Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is one of the best people that I know, Frankie Weiss. Frank, how are you doing? Thanks for being here. I'm glad to have you on.
That was quite the intro. I appreciate you having me on, and that was very nice of you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Frank, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time, so
yeah,
glad to have you over.
So Frankie and I went to John Carroll together, studied there all 4 years together, and got to know each other well. Our freshman year, we lived on the same floor in Dolan Hall. Shout out Dirty D at that point. It's now renovated, but at the time we lived there, it was known as Dirty Dolan, the Dirty D, and it was interesting, it's to
funny,
say the least.
You know, it's funny how they upgrade shit once we leave.
It's perfect, yeah.
They always do that.
It was great, though. We had such a good time in there. I mean, I'm speaking for both of us, but I know Frankie would echo the same sentiments, that it was a great time, and we had a really fun floor and got to know some really awesome people through that. So one of them, for me, was Frank. And Frank, why don't you walk us through just a little bit of who you are? Why don't you give us a little bit of an intro here?
Yeah, so as Joe said, my name's Frankie. I'm from Buffalo, New York, originally. But I ended up going to college in Cleveland at John Carroll with Joe. And now I live here full time. I don't know if it's going to be my final destination here, but I have been enjoying it, living downtown. And I got a nice job in marketing, which is what I went to school for. And I'm kind of just enjoying life at the moment.
Yeah. We're lucky to have you here. I mean, I remember freshman year, we took a little trip up to Buffalo to visit. We went to the Bills game, experienced Bills Moff.
Yep.
It was freezing.
I do remember that. Yep, my mother cooked you guys breakfast in the morning.
It's the best.
Yeah, so, yeah, those were fun. I don't get to as many games as I used to, but they are definitely fun, and I always love to show people who aren't from Buffalo what the tailgates are like.
Insane.
It's a whole other world.
Yeah, there's, like, fire in one corner, you got people breaking tables in another. Yeah. Everyone's just plastered.
Bars open till 4.
Bars open till 4.
Yeah, it's a whole other world. I love it.
It is a whole other world. And the wings. We went to Duff's.
Yep.
That was incredible.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a Duff's guy, but I'm from the South Towns in Buffalo, and that's sort of a North Towns thing. I think in the South Towns, we like Barbell a little bit better. I'm a Barbell guy, but I know Mark and some of our other friends from the North Towns would say Duff's, but I'm not in on Duff's.
We'll run it back and we'll get some Barbells.
So yeah.
If 100%. You're from Buffalo and you're feeling very opinionated, let us know where else we'll have to hit.
Yeah.
Now, Frank, when I knew you in college, you were heavier than you are now,
mm-hmm.
To be transparent. You and I have talked about this. So you've gone through an incredibly disciplined weight loss
mm-hmm.
program that you kind of constructed yourself.
Correct.
Walk us through that a little bit. I mean, that's a really remarkable thing, and it takes some incredible mm-hmm. discipline.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you wording it like that and giving me a little bit of praise. definitely hard, and I like how you said I crafted it myself, because I do feel super proud when I say that I didn't ask one person for help for anything. I did it all by myself. But essentially, I started maybe after we graduated. I was probably about 180, which obviously doesn't sound like a lot, but you know, I'm 5'4". I'm a smaller guy. 180 is like obese for my size. So when I was growing up in high school, I was always maybe like 145, maybe 150, and like maybe if I was the off season of sports. So I kind of just gained all that weight just by kind of just being a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, I don't know, like, there's a lot of just, I think I was skinny in high school because I played sports, and then once I got to college, didn't play sports. We were drinking 3 nights a week and being idiots. Like, I wasn't watching when I was eating. So I ended up getting to about 180 after we graduated, and I was like, this cannot continue. Mm-hmm. I was like, I hate this. I would hate, my least favorite thing ever would be when somebody would send me like a Snapchat memory of like high school or mm-hmm. like freshman year of college, and I'm like, holy shit, dude, I look like a fucking garbage can. Like, I've realized I need to do something about it, mm-hmm. But it kind of took me a long time to get to that for sure. I wanted to do it right after we graduated. I didn't start until like July.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get to the right point. I always say, one of my best friends from home, he lost way more weight than me. He was like severely, like morbidly obese in high school, and now he's skinny. and we talked about it, like a great, honestly, a great starting point for everyone is rock bottom. So when, if anybody ever asks me that if they want help or like, how do you do this? And I'm like, how much do you fucking hate yourself?
Wow.
Cause
that's a deep question.
Yeah. I say, how much do you fucking hate yourself? Cause when you're, if you're really at rock bottom and you hate the way you look and you hate your weight, there's, you can only go up from there. And,
yeah,
and if you hate yourself, that is such good motivation. It is such good motivation. And I don't necessarily know if I didn't hate myself maybe for being fat. I kind of just, I hated myself for like letting myself get like that.
Right. Okay.
For letting me go down a deep dive of like just eating like shit and being a piece of shit. So yeah. So that's kind of what made me want to do it. And another thing is when I first started, I always tell this to my two roommates that I was living with at the time, is I was super self-conscious back then too. Super self-conscious about the weight. So they went back to Buffalo for the summer. But I stayed in Cleveland alone. And I always say, if they were there, I would have never done it.
Wow.
I would have never done it. I would have been too worried about what they were saying, about them being judgmental. When I first, like the first time, when I first started as well, I didn't go out or see anybody for like 3 or 4 weeks. Because I didn't want any sort of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't want anybody to like find out that I was trying to lose weight. And I don't know. I feel like our friend group is real like, everyone likes to get under each other's skin once in a while and like throw out a couple of like chirps or whatever. And I didn't want somebody to say something to me that I would take personally,
mm-hmm.
and like get upset and like maybe take me off my course that I was on.
Sure. Yeah, you were focused.
Exactly.
And you had to be, because that's such a, I mean, when you're changing their lifestyle and you're changing your habits,
yeah.
like it takes an override and a rewriting and a rewiring,
yep.
in the brain and in our pathways.
Yeah, no, I agree. A lifestyle change is super hard. I mean, I'm a completely different person than I was back then. Wow, that was not a fun time in my life. I may have looked like I was having a good time, but I really wasn't. I
yeah.
was just pissed. You can ask Mark. Like, when we used to go out a couple, like, I remember I would always like get dressed. I'd be like, dude, do I look fucking fat, dude? And he'd be like, no. Like, why are you asking that? But
yeah.
I knew I looked fat, and I always another big motivator for me was I would hate going home to Buffalo. I was always super anxious about going back to Buffalo because I knew people, like friends from home, were definitely like talking about how I had gained weight after we graduated.
Sure.
Now, were they talking about me as much as I thought? Probably not.
No. Yeah.
Probably not, but I was in my own head about that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I hated going home, and that was like a big motivator for me too. I was like, I every single thing that somebody has told me from home that was negative about like my weight or something, I remember. And I remember one person that summer, probably in May before I started losing weight, I was home and one of my friends was like, I think I in passing conversation mentioned that I was gonna like start getting in the gym and like
mm-hmm.
losing weight, and that person said like, yeah, yeah, not gonna lie, frankly, you definitely got like pretty big. And I was like, that's
yeah.
just like, I was like, that's fucking terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible.
So yeah,
it's amazing that people can be so senseless without even like batting an eye. You
yeah,
can, like, oh, our relationship's great, so you just can say whatever you want. That's not how that works. There's definitely ways to put things.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I mean, sometimes that shit works for motivation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you haven't forgotten it.
I have. Yeah,
and here you
some
are.
Some of those things you just never forget.
Yeah,
yeah. So I tend to like remember negative shit that's said to me and
mm-hmm.
try to act on it.
Yeah, I mean, it takes some anger sometimes to really get
100%.
The get the ball moving.
I agree.
You speak of it like as if it's something that you really didn't like where you were, right? Like you didn't like, obviously mentally you didn't like where you were,
mm-hmm.
and it stemmed from the physical appearance
mm-hmm.
and the overall way you felt.
Yep.
So take us to that July point when you start saying, you know what, I'm gonna start hammering this, and what did your routine then look like?
Yep, so July, I bought a scale, hadn't weighed myself in probably like, I actually didn't even know how much I weighed. The last time I weighed myself was I came home from freshman year for like Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and I weighed myself and I was like 160 something, and I was like, holy shit. I was like, I weighed like 145 and 150 in high school. I was like, oh my God. And then
yeah.
I think I maybe just didn't want to know.
Sure.
So I never weighed myself after that. So I bought a scale. I went to that Target in University Heights and bought myself a scale. And I was there alone. I literally put it in my like dining room, in my
yeah.
living room to keep track. and I bought a scale. I got a gym membership. I got a gym membership. I had it for 3 weeks. I didn't use it because I was too scared to go.
Wow.
I did not. I just was like, I don't even want to. I don't know. I was just. I was scared I'd maybe would have failed or just like. Another thing is people who are like fat are like scared of like gyms or like gym culture or people like making fun of them in the gym, which is so fucking far from the truth. Yeah. Like if somebody at the gym who's in shape sees like a fat person at the gym, they're couldn't be happier that that person is like shamed.
That's so true.
It, like they and if we're being completely honest, nobody is fucking around like looking at like looking around and like making fun of people in the gym.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing their own shit.
Right, right.
Like I'm not looking anywhere when I'm at the gym. Like,
no, you're locked in.
No, I'm just like on my phone or doing what I need to do. Like that shit doesn't matter. But anyway, in terms of like routine, I would pretty much just run like 2.5-3 miles a day. That's not exactly like you really don't have to do that. But I was super naive and I thought, all right, well, cardio and running's pretty much that's what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And so I just started running 2.5-3 miles a day, which sucked. Running sucks. It's not fun. I mean, unless you're like unless you're like cross country or like
track. Yeah, one of those people that
like running. But I don't really like running, so it kind of sucked for me.
Yeah, sprints are fun. That's about it.
Yeah, I'd go to the gym every day. Again, I was anxious, so I would go to the gym at like fucking 11 o'clock at night. Like, and I would just go in a hoodie and put my hood up and sweat my dick off, running on the treadmill and go home.
Yeah.
And I did that for a pretty long time, and I think... I can't remember exactly the time frame of how long it took me to get that off, but I don't know. I eventually stopped running. I actually was super scared I was going to gain the weight back because I got rear-ended and I had no car for like a month. So I couldn't get to the gym.
Oh no.
And I was also unemployed at the time. So I had nowhere to like go. So I was like, I was weighing myself like every day. I was like, holy shit.
You're freaking out. I can't.
I was very, very, very worried. But another thing I wanted to bring up about motivation or like weighing yourself and stuff, like a lot of people have trouble like to keep going. Mm-hmm. If you're like fat and when you see the number go down on the scale, it is so fucking addicting. It's like, it's so addicting.
Yeah.
You start seeing numbers drop and you're like, I can't wait to go to the gym tomorrow. I cannot wait.
Wow.
Yeah. You're like, I can't wait to just keep this train moving.
That's so cool. Yeah. You could see it. It's tangible, right? Like, yeah. And you know that that's you, like that number represents you.
Yes.
As weird as that sounds. Yes. Like that number is literally your mass.
Yeah. I was talking to my friend from home about it and he said the same thing. He's like he's like, seeing that number go down is legit like crack.
Yeah.
It is. Beautiful scene go down, and all of those that make you want to work harder.
Did you have a set number in mind, or what was
that? Honestly, no.
Okay.
No. I wanted to get back to where I was in high school, so I got down to like 145, and then I think by that time I started lifting weights. So I didn't even like intend on like really losing any more weight. But now I weigh like 135.
Yeah.
Which I know sounds crazy, like that's super light, but I'm a small guy. Like, right. It's not like a crazy.
No, and you look great.
Yeah, it's like a normal weight. But yeah, so I one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. So
it's incredible.
Yeah.
How else do you feel? Like, do you feel like you have more energy? Do you feel?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Like even getting out of bed in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
just all the way around.
I had a like you knew me in college. Like I had a complete lifestyle change.
It is a complete
like
really
every
is.
Single aspect of my life has changed. There's not one thing that's the same.
So that's what I'm curious about. Yeah, what were some of the ripple effects? So you're getting in shape, and you're rewiring that brain, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that you have, because you have to be disciplined, you have to be motivated, and all that comes intrinsically. So you managed to do that. And what else, as a butterfly effect, became disciplined, became better? Like,
yeah,
that, you know,
that like just to mental health for sure. I wouldn't say I had like mental health problems per se. I have some family members who have mental health problems. So I wouldn't say I was like super like depressed or anything, but like I definitely was anxious about some things when I was fat. And I think, yeah, super self-conscious as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Yeah. Just like like when you get better physically, like it's the same thing mentally. Like your mentals get way better, you get way more disciplined. You know, it's easier getting up every morning. You know, it's not like, I mean, in college, Jesus Christ, like, dude, I'd sleep until like fucking
like one.
Yeah,
two,
like we'd go to bed at like 4 or 5, wake up at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like that yeah. Like fuck that, that's bullshit. Like I don't like it's so it's. I don't really know where I was going with that answer, but yeah.
No, I get it. Yeah, there. And just to kind of give a little story here, Frankie's always been high energy. Like when you saw Frankie, he was high energy. He was funny, like and still are, like high energy, funny. Yeah. So in some ways, like to me, right, as a bystander or whatever you want to call me in that situation, you maybe wouldn't know that, right? You wouldn't know that you were down. You wouldn't know that you were hard on yourself mm-hmm. because, again. You're joking, you're having a good time, you're fun, all that jazz.
Yeah. Sometimes people put on a face for that
shit. That's right, absolutely.
And I think that's exactly what I was doing.
And I kind of think that's what's interesting is that even someone who, like, right, like it's the, I don't know, the Kevin Love thing, like you put yourself out there in one way and really you might be feeling another way kind of thing.
Absolutely. That's, you know, you never know what someone's going through. And I'm not saying I was going through like super hard shit, but I was definitely like upset with myself, like in my head. Sure, and I was definitely in my head about certain things, but yeah. So,
and at the end of the day, what else do you have, right? You own yourself, and you're only in control of yourself. So, if you're upset with yourself, it's you did it. You took it in charge in your own hands and made something happen out of it to make it better.
Yeah, and I'm super proud of myself for that. Yeah, and it's definitely not for lack of hard work, not for lack of trying, and it's all worked out good so far. So, I'm happy about it.
Did you have to like shift what you eat? Like, I'm curious, what's the food aspect of this?
Huge. I know we were talking about this before we started this. One big thing for me was the portion control.
Okay.
Eating until like you're. Do you ever eat a shitload of food and you're like, fuck, I gotta go like sit down for an hour, and you're like kind of out of commission for like an hour.
Yeah.
You get in like a food coma. They say.
Right.
Why the fuck are you like ingesting that much food? You know what I mean? Yes. So yeah, I would do that and like feel like garbage for like a couple hours afterwards. Like I would eat so much food that would just like, why am I eating this? So yes, I stopped doing that. That was a big thing. It's like now when I eat, like I eat until I'm fucking satisfied and I'm full.
Yeah.
I don't eat until like I'm like, I can barely fucking shove the last bite of food in my mouth because I'm so full. Like that's so disgusting. So that was a big thing. I have pretty much completely cut out fast food, which is so crazy because you know how our college house was.
My goodness.
We used to go to McDonald's.
Every Sunday.
Used to go there for every Sunday for like the Bills games and stuff. And I'd get a disgusting amount of food. I'd get like a burger, fucking large fries, nuggets, the whole fucking, I might as well have been the whole fucking menu. And it was just disgusting. And then I remember like a couple times, like me, Mark, and Joe each got our own dinner boxes and we're like, let's see who can finish theirs. Fucking disgusting. Why are we doing that?
Right.
Yeah, so I like portion control is definitely a big thing. In terms of like what you're eating, I think the no carb thing is fucking garbage. It's bullshit. It's really for me, I want everyone to take what I say with a grain of salt. Because people who are in like fitness or like give any sort of like weight loss advice, it's all fucking different. Everyone has so many different opinions.
Yeah.
And it's all about what works for you. You could go online and maybe say you're trying to do weightlifting. You could see one video where some guy's teaching you how to do lat pull downs. And then you go to another video, the guy's like, nope, don't do lat pull downs like that, do them like this. And then you start doing them all these different ways, but you don't really feel it in your lats. Mm-hmm. Well, then don't fucking do it. Do it the way that you feel it, and do it the way that works for you.
Totally.
So everything that I say, take with a grain of salt, but I think the carb thing is fucking bullshit, and it's pretty much all about calories in, calories out, okay?
Yeah.
It's all about how much calories you're burning and how much calories you're putting in.
That's awesome.
So.
Seems holistic, right?
Yeah, so like, I would try to, so yeah, I like, if you're trying to lose weight, I'd probably like go, I'd probably, you got to eat at like a caloric deficit, so eat. So what I used to do is I would go online to a calorie calculator. You put in like your height, your weight, your age, and then how often you're working out, and it'll like spit out a number or a few different numbers. It'll spit out one number that's like how many calories you should be eating to maintain your weight, how many calories you should be eating if you want to gain weight, and how many calories you should be eating if you want to lose weight. And it'll kind of have like, all right, if you want to lose weight, like if you want to lose a half a pound a week, do this. And then it'll give you like, it has like another number. It'll be like, all right, have this amount of calories if you want to lose like 1 pound a week or 1.5 pounds.
That's legit.
Yeah. So I would do that. But definitely be careful with it. Like, you don't want to be, it's super important to have like a good relationship with food. Sometimes like my friend from home that lost all that weight, like we were just talking about it when he was here, about how when he first started, or when he kind of went through his whole thing, he really had a bad relationship with food, and he was eating like severely under like the calories that he should have been eating per day. And that to this day has messed up his metabolism. So now his metabolism is a little fucked up. So now, you know, he goes out and he eats like one piece of pizza, he's going to gain like 20 pounds. You know what I mean? So I told him like, go like, and he kind of only does the, kind of does cardio pretty much. That's it. That's all he does. And I told him while I was here, I said, fucking go back to lifting, to lifting. Cause that's super beneficial for your metabolism too. So I said, go back to lifting. Let me know how it goes. So yeah, it's important to have a good relationship with food. Definitely try to do like low calorie, high protein. That's like all these fucking like random bullshit diets. Like, I mean, just don't like worry about it. Just try to eat the lowest amount, or not like the lowest amount of calories, but just eat the lower calorie option and eat your protein. A lot of people say get 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight on you. Now, you don't have to do that every fucking day. Like, I weigh like 135 pounds. I'm not. It gets a little crazy once you start like tracking a bunch of shit. It's kind of hard, and it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's really tedious. So I just try to eat as much protein a day as I can, and like not eat a bunch of gross ass food.
Yes, yeah, so you're working out. You're not eating fast food. You're eating a lot of
protein. It's a simple equation, Joe.
Right.
It's a simple equation, and that's pretty much what it boils down to. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome. And you have like a real blunt way of looking at it.
Yeah.
To be real with it, like, right, you're just like, okay, I'm not eating fast food. Done. I want to feel better. I'm starting to work out. Boom.
Yeah.
And it's just like matter of fact.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's really not that difficult once you like really get down to it.
Sure.
It's really not that hard.
Yeah, so find out what works for you and then keep stick to it, right? Like, you got to stick with it for a little bit. Make sure it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You've been at it for a while now. Yeah,
and don't try not to give a fuck what people think.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have maybe some people that are going to fucking crack jokes about it.
So here's one for you, not to get entirely controversial on you. How do you meander in a society that is all the body positivity stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to call a spade, you've referenced your past self as fat maybe 10 times already.
Yeah.
And I think, like, there's plenty of people who would...
That's a good question,
go to bat with you.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't want to, like, be... I don't want to say anything bad, but I think the whole, like, where there's like models that are like morbidly obese is fucking crazy. I think that's fucking crazy. That person is like really, really, really unhealthy.
Right.
And they're like, I don't know if they're trying to glorify it or make it try to seem like that's okay or normal.
Right.
But I don't know. I always get a little uneasy if you see like a super out of shape fat model. I'm not trying to be like mean or like derogatory or anything, but I think that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think is interesting about it, right? Like, is when you're glorifying something that's innately unhealthy, it doesn't really make sense. Like, that's
a lot of things nowadays are just to make everybody feel good about themselves, let's be honest.
Yeah, like, that's the thing though, is like
everyone wants a participation award and all, you know.
Right. Because if you're making yourself feel good in a situation that's not good, then you're never going to get out of the situation. Like, if you had felt glorified the whole time that you were in a situation where you, again, are calling yourself fat, as opposed to where you were, like, mentally, you're like, I got to get out of here. You were, the fight or flight method was coming in, and that's why you felt all that angst and that anxiety, right? And you were like, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to make this thing better.
Mm-hmm.
And now, on the flip side, the grass is greener, and you feel great. But if you're glorifying something that's not good, and then eventually your brain's going to be like, oh, this is all good, and you believe that...
Mm-hmm.
Then you're never going to move to get out of that, and you're going to live in an unhealthy state. So I get that.
Yeah, I think it makes no sense. And I'm not saying, like, I don't know. I just don't, I think it sends the wrong message, having like a And you want to know something else, Joe? Is you never see a fat male model. Just going to throw that out there. Have you ever seen a fat male model?
No, but I tend not to look at too many male models.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you walk into, like, a clothing store.
Yeah,
no. And they got, the models on the wall or whatever.
Right.
All the guys, there's no fat guys.
Yeah.
But there are, like, fat women.
Well, the dad bod was a thing for a little bit.
I guess you're right, okay.
The dad bod.
Okay, that's a good call. All right. I'll take that, yeah.
A big to-do.
Yeah. You know? I get that, okay.
But I do know where you're coming from with it, right? I think it has something to do with...
I don't really know what that means.
The dad bod thing?
I don't really know how to interpret... No, I don't really know how to interpret, like, there being no fat male models, but there are fat women models. I don't really know...
Well, I was going to take it this way. I think a lot of it tend to be... I have found that when you see the plus-size models for things, it tends to be for, like, loungewear. Okay. Or, like... like lingerie, something to that effect.
Yeah.
And I think it's because there's a certain level of like comfort that comes with it, right? Or like a vulnerability that comes with it, sure. Right? Like, again, workout clothes, like you just go, you get your size and it's whatever you can go work out in.
Yeah.
Or like jeans, like whatever you fit in, whatever. But like there's a certain like intimacy that comes with loungewear where you're supposed to be relaxed, or intimacy that comes along with lingerie where it's like this vulnerability aspect.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe that's why you see it there, because of those realities being linked with, well, you should feel confident, well, you should be happy, well, you should be like, these are good things, we're gonna celebrate, this is glorious, you know. I think that's where they try and draw that connection.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
I don't know,
it's definitely an interesting dynamic. I mean, it's, the world's a little weird nowadays and stuff.
The world's wild.
I know. You gotta watch what you say. I mean, somebody could probably pick something I said in this podcast today and fucking cancel me.
So with that too, and with the world being weird, how does it go with, like, back to the food thing a little bit? Like McDonald's, right? Like a lot of the food that is out there that is so mass produced is garbage, right?
Yeah.
My mom and I have been, and my sister, we've all been really conscientious, of the dyes that we've been eating. Like, try not to eat any dye, you know, not that we're eating that much, but just in general, like, because it causes crazy hyperactivity, like, red causes, like, crazy hyperactivity in your body and all that, on and on. But all that stuff's mass-produced.
It is, yeah. I think, like, America's food is just gross. It's, like, a lot of fucking, like, it's just all processed shit, you know what I mean? It's all, like, processed shit. I saw a tweet, like, the other day about how bad, like, seed oils are. Like vegetable oil and like canola oil and like shit like that, like fryer oils and shit, and like people like types of oils that people will cook stuff in pans with, about how bad that shit is for you, and they were referencing things like, you know, the reason why America is so fat and Europe is so skinny is because we use all that seed oil shit, and people in Europe still use butter and olive oil to cook. So they don't use their fucking, the gross fucking seed oils, apparently. I don't really know. I'm not, like, an expert on that stuff. That's just, like, some tweet I saw. But
I use olive oil.
I use olive oil a lot, yeah.
I think olive oil is supposed to be, yeah.
I think, olive oil is fine, but I think, like, or, like, Crisco. I forgot, what the fuck is Crisco? I think it's, like, lard or something. I don't even know what Crisco is, but I saw something about that.
And that's in the yellow, right?
Yeah, I don't even know what that is, but I know that's like some sort of bad shit too. I don't know. I think America's just a bunch of processed garbage. Like, it's all bad.
Do you think it's just because, like, it's for the cheapness of it?
It all probably boils down to money, for sure.
Yeah.
100%. It's probably cheaper to produce. And
okay, so what do you do then to make sure that you're eating non-processed?
I eat no fast food. I will say I do Chipotle.
Okay, I eat Chipotle. I love Chipotle.
I don't really count Chipotle. So
Thai and salt. Right? Yeah. Thai and salt, like some of the meats and stuff are high in fat, but
I like Chipotle, I'll eat it. And I don't, like, you know, as long as you're not fucking like overdoing it. I usually don't get like sour cream, I don't know.
Yeah.
I usually just cut out the sour cream, but I'll usually do like a regular amount of rice, double chicken, and then like, you know, fucking some vegetables and shit. But yeah, so I don't eat that. But what I normally do is, like, I don't really know. Like, I kind of cook whatever the fuck I want. Like, you know, I mean, I'll do like the classic like workout guy like shit.
Yeah.
Where I'll cook like chicken and rice. That's the classic thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, just I mean, this week I cooked a New York strip steak just because I felt like it. I don't know. Nice. And I was like, all right, well, there's a lot of butter and shit on it. It's all, everything, you know, people always say everything's good in moderation.
Everything's good in moderation.
Absolutely. It's fine.
It's got to be reasonable.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to eat fast food anymore because I just don't like the way it makes me feel. But if you really want, like, if you're working out and you've lost a bunch of weight, but you're like, shit, I kind of just like want a Big Mac today, then go fucking get a Big Mac. Just, honest, it's fine. Honest. It's good. Yeah, yeah. You can go one time and get it like once in a while. Like, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, a buddy, I was telling you a little bit before, a buddy of mine named Joey, shout out Joey, is killing it. He moved out of Florida and started this like business, really, of just helping people lose weight, gain muscle, feel confident in their bodies, essentially kind of exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And like, that's his big thing. He's like, if you deal in absolute, it takes me to like the Jedi thing where it's like the Star Wars Jedi thing, like, yeah, only a Sith deals in absolute, right? Because mm-hmm. it's so bad. Like, there's no such thing really as like a carte blanche. Like, this is like, yeah, this is it. As in, you are not eating fast food. You are not eating a Big Mac. Like, just like you said, I am not eating fast food unless it's Chipotle. It's, yeah, like, just right off the rip.
Well, Chipotle is just so good, dude. Yeah, it really is good. And it can't be that bad. I mean, I'm sure they got some processed shit back there, but come on. Sure. For the most part, it's chicken, rice, and some fucking vegetables and shit.
Yeah.
Can't be that bad.
And so I have another part of this whole thing that I'm curious about too, Frank. And, all right, so Frankie, like, take TikTok, take the phones, take TV, take all that. I think it is interesting that all of that stuff is so prominent, right? Like, TV shows, everyone's binging shows. It's been a big thing for, I don't know, 7 years now. I feel like 2014, people started binging stuff. I don't know, roughly. You know what I mean? Or Breaking Bad, when was that? 2012, maybe?
Probably ended in 2012, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like that was a big one. I mean, that, Lost, Grey's Anatomy, like, all those. People mm-hmm. binged all those. And then, of course, it's been everything ever since. TikTok, huge. People consume it by the hour.
Yep.
And that's, I feel like that ties in with this, everything that we're talking about, with, like, this health mentally and really physically, because you're just kind of existing.
Yeah, I told you before, I sometimes just want to throw my phone out the window. It's so addicting, and people are so addicted to their phones, and I just don't think it's, like, I don't know. I really just want to, like, delete. Like, I want to delete, not Twitter, because Twitter's got to stay, but, like, I want to, like, delete, like, Instagram, fuck Instagram, and, like, TikTok.
So why don't you?
I don't know, because I'm fucking addicted. Okay. Everyone's just addicted to this shit. I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly doing anything about it, but I will at least accept that I'm a little addicted to my phone.
Fair, yeah. What do you, and you, if you're aware, that means you're not going to be as bad as, like, say, someone who doesn't even think twice about it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I would say I think everyone's addicted to their phone. So me saying I'm addicted to my phone isn't really that big of a deal, because everyone is.
It means you have a smartphone, essentially. Yeah. Okay, got it.
But I definitely am, like, conscious of, like, how much, like, I'm on it, for sure.
Sure.
Like, sometimes I'm like, fuck, I've really been on this shit for a really long time. And I'll, like, turn it off for, like, 30 minutes, and then I'll be right back on it.
Yeah. Do you have screen time on your screen? Do you, or the limits or whatever?
No, I know. I see them on there, though. I always think about clicking it and you could, like, set a limit, and, like, what, it just won't let you on the phone for...
What it does is, like, it closes the app. So I used to have it on there. When I was in high school, I went through a run where I was, this is so nerdy, playing a lot of chess.
That's super nerdy.
Yeah, super nerdy. And I was spending too much time on chess, amongst other things, and I was like, okay, I'm setting a limit on this that I only have, like, X amount of time a day. And so I would set it, like, to 30 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And then it would, after that time, it would just, like, put up the hourglass on the iPhone and say, you know, you can't go on this app, basically, like, you've set the limit. You could manually ignore it. You could go ignore and then move on it, but you had to do it. It made you do two things
you could at least see that you're going over your limit.
Yeah. And so then you know, because otherwise, you know, you'll be on there for God knows how long without even paying attention.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
It's like a casino.
I know there's a couple, like, Netflix documentaries. I forgot what they're called, about, like, just phones and how fucking kind of, and, like, the social world and how kind of it's a little crazy.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they're called, but I know there's a couple.
Do you have any advice on that? Like, what do you think? Did you, or how did that change? Better yet, how did that change for you over from when, I don't know, Fat Frankie to not Fat Frankie? According to Frankie himself.
I think I'm probably definitely on my phone a lot less now, just because I'm not sitting on my fucking ass as much.
Okay. That's kind of what I was guessing.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, I'll watch something on my phone, like, while I'm on the treadmill at the gym, but I only go on the treadmill for, like, 10 minutes, and the rest of the time when I'm, like, lifting weights, I just won't even look at it. I'll just put it in my pocket, and then if I want to change a song, I'll do the fucking... tab on the AirPod. I won't even pick up my phone. So
love AirPods. Side note.
Yeah, I definitely. That my phone usage was definitely worse before, just because I probably just had nothing better to do.
Yeah, got it. Because you're just sitting there.
We were just in college. Just low energy.
Wow. It's wild. It is all connected. It definitely is all interconnected. And I think there's a speaker that I love, and his big thing is like, clean up your mess, like clean up you first before you think you can clean up anybody else. And he starts to like clean up your room, and then it expands from there. And it's a whole to do. But I think it's fascinating that there's so many entities that are us and so many facets that we have to get organized. And by organizing one, like you did, some of the rest of it starts to fall into place.
Just falls into place, yeah. For sure.
And you create the habits that will allow you to do that. Like, yes. If you're disciplined with this, then you're disciplined with that. You shared with me, which I think testifies to that, like, you like getting up early for work, sitting on the couch and having a cup of coffee before you get ready for your day and then go into work.
Yes,
and
I wake up earlier just so I can do that. Like, that's crazy. I don't have to get up early, but I like wake up earlier just so I can like chill on my phone for a second and drink a cup of coffee.
Yeah, just relax. And that's awesome. And that's a testimony to, like, let's be honest here. In the past, I know you. You would have rolled out of bed, threw on a hat, put your jean shirt on, and walked to class 3 minutes before you had to be there.
Yeah, that's exactly. Or I probably just wouldn't have gone.
Or you would have skipped. Yeah, I would have skipped. So, like, crazy how one thing falls into place and the rest of it starts to go too. So, like, your mindfulness, the meditation, and all that.
Yeah, I've actually never tried meditation, but I don't know. I don't really know anything about that, but I'd be interested.
Yeah, you'd kill that. You'd be great with
you
that.
You think I'd be good
with that? Oh, yeah.
Have you done that?
Yeah, I try and meditate. I'm very spacious when I meditate, though. Okay. So, I short and sweet for me.
But is it beneficial?
I do a lot of reflecting. So, I love thinking about, I guess, life, for like a better way of putting it. Yeah, I try and look at things and the effects that they have on people and me. And
I don't know if I could do that.
You can do it.
No, I don't know. Like, are you? Is it just like silent when you're doing it?
I like instrumental music, so
you could maybe do that.
Yeah,
dude, I can't even go to bed without like the TV going.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't go to bed in the silence. I got too many thoughts rolling around in my brain. I can't just.
Yeah, see, that's why you need to meditate.
If I go to bed without like the TV on or no sound or anything, I think I'll just be like in my own head, like fucking. About shit. I'll just be thinking about shit too much, and then I'll be like, so I have to like fall asleep with something on.
Bro, try. I could send you my instrumental playlist. Yeah, do you have Apple Music or Spotify?
Spotify, dude. I'm not a peasant.
No, you hate yourself. That's why you have Spotify. I like to make my life easier, so I use the better app. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
Regardless, I'll send you some songs then. You have to check them out.
And yeah, definitely.
Try it for like 10 minutes. Or like write. Like write, I don't know, do like a gratitude thing. Write what you're grateful for. Think about the week or whatever. Write down goals. Like, do anything like that that gets you thinking about it. You're gonna find that that craziness you got going on in your head, you'll be able to corral it and organize it.
Yeah. I used to write down like goals in my notes, but I don't know. I only kind of really had one goal, and that was like the weight loss, and I did it. So
it's awesome.
I should probably maybe come up with some other goals that I should.
They'll come to you.
Put down and try to work towards.
Frankie, do you have something that I always contend is that people who are grateful tend to just live happier lives? Like, yeah. I think people who exhibit gratitude are people who appreciate life more than those who don't, straight up. And so I want someone who's grateful in my life. If someone's not grateful, first of all, I probably can't stand them. Second of all, I think they should be to have a better life. So what role does gratitude play in your life, and how do you embody that?
Well, I think that there are a small amount of things in my life I could say I'm grateful for with very important things. So, super grateful for my family. I love my family so much. And I'm very grateful for our friends. I think we have, like, good friends. Like, at least me and, like, my super, super close friends.
Yeah.
I could say that I'm super grateful for. I love having friends that would fucking kill for you. I love that. Like, if you're stuck in a ditch, it's cold outside, it's snowstorm or something, and you called me, you said, I got no money, I can't get gas, or I'm stuck in this ditch, like, can you come get me? Dude, I'm fucking halfway in the car. I'm halfway to the car.
Spot on.
I like people like that, and I like surrounding myself with people like that. So I'm super grateful for those types of people in my life. And I'm super grateful for just how my life is right now. I'm happy that I made such a large transition, and I have no regrets about it.
Yeah.
And I probably, honestly, I wouldn't change my, like, fat days either. I probably wouldn't change it because I wouldn't, nothing, like,
yeah.
Some good came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, everything's meant to be. And it, that happened, but I got no regrets. And I'm grateful for a lot of things.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. You could tell by your mindfulness that you live that way. Mm-hmm. And you have to.
Yeah.
It's funny, you took the other question, you beat me to it. I was going to ask if you had any regrets, and I appreciate that you say, like, you know, you don't, and that things do happen for a reason.
Yeah.
You find the rationale sometimes afterwards, where you're looking back on it now and saying, hey, maybe this is why this is going on that way.
Yeah, you know, honestly, when you were asking that question, I was trying to think of, actually, if I really did have any regrets, and I really don't think I do.
Yeah.
I don't even think I have fucking one.
That's awesome.
I really... Everything's panned out fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's
there. Maybe there was maybe some, like, shitty times in
sure,
the past,
always.
But, like, maybe without those shitty times, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, and I think, like, when you get your life in order, then you brace yourself for those bad times, because you're gonna have great grades and you're gonna
yeah.
have really bad times too, right? I mean, the inevitability part is, like, when you have, or the inevitable part of having people in your life that you care about is that there's gonna be suffering in some capacity.
Yeah.
You're gonna suffer alone, and that blows.
Yeah.
We're going to suffer with people and suffer maybe a little bit more because you have more people to suffer with or for.
Yeah.
But if you have your life straight, and if you're in a position where you can control yourself, then you know that you can embrace those experiences.
Yeah.
In the best possible way.
Yeah. No matter how good your life is, some shit's going to come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if it's been really good for really long, you better buckle up because God knows what's about to
happen. Yeah, I know. You're due for one.
Yeah,
you're
due
for a shitty situation.
Yes. Yeah, dude, the other day I had a crazy day. I had a flat tire. I had a student telling me off. I'm like, what is going on?
You know how to change a flat tire by yourself?
No, that's what AAA did for me. Thank
yep.
God. Shout out AAA. That was awesome. It was great. It was a beautiful day. I was just standing outside. A guy's like fixing the tire. We're just talking. But anyway, dude, Frankie, do you have any, as we kind of get near the end of this episode here, do you have any words of advice that you want to offer to someone who's embarking upon a weight loss journey? Or do you have any closing thoughts, or both, that you want to address just to anybody?
Yeah, I'll give a couple quick ones. I'll just summarize some things that I said. Fuck the carb thing.
Got it.
Just worry about the calories. Don't get too fucking worked up about the scale. Like, don't be weighing yourself, like, every day.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Like, weigh yourself, like, maybe, like, every Wednesday or something, like, once a week. Don't care about what other people have to say. And anybody that is your friend who, like, wants to talk shit about you bettering your life or something, if we're being honest, that person's got no business even fucking being friends with you anyway. But another thing is when you're fat and you're fucking gross and you're, like, a piece of shit, you make people feel better about themselves.
Mm.
So a lot of times, like, when you start to better yourself, you make those people feel like shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't like it.
Got it.
Sometimes they don't like it. Cool. Those are the type of people that'll, like, fucking make, like, personal jokes about you bettering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, think it's, like, fucking funny. But in reality, they're just pissed because they look like shit.
Yeah. Wow.
So don't care what people think. Don't get freaked out about the scale. Worry about the calories, fuck the carb thing.
I love it. Those are great ones.
Yeah.
Those are great ones. Man, I you make me want to go to the gym.
Yeah.
And, like,
I'm not some, like, big gym guy.
I
don't
know.
No, like,
I know.
I'm just, like, I'll go, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not, like, some huge fitness guy, but, like, I go to the gym, you know, 5 to 6 times a week to not be fat again.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You watch me eat. You take care of yourself.
It's very simple.
These are great recommendations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone, Frankie Weiss is just a great dude, as you can tell. A lot of awesome energy here. Has made a tremendous life shift. Has successfully done what I think a lot of us want to do, and that is to be disciplined, to stay organized, and to achieve our goals. And so Frankie is someone that I admire for that, and I think he's someone that is something, as you can hear, is someone from whom we can take something quite tangible, and that is, again, aiming at our goals. And where we set our sights, we will go, is a phrase that I've been living by for years. And Frankie really does that well, has done that well. So again, I will put his contact info in the description, probably his Instagram until he deletes it. but you will find him there. You can get in touch with him if you have any questions or anything you want to wrap back and forth with him. But until then, this has been another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Frankie, thanks for being here. This has been another Chats with Clark.